Welcome to For a Different Lens podcast. I'm your co-host Joe.
I'm Dej.
And I'm Jacob.
Get me different kind of scenery. We like to keep you on your toes and keep us on our toes as well, to be fair. You get me?
Yeah.
What are you saying, radio man Dej? He's in his radio bag right now.
Yeah, Mr. Smooth today. Mr. Smooth.
He's saying the male Jenny Francis, yeah?
Yeah, man. Shout out Jenny Francis.
Aye, big legend in the game, man. Big legend. What are you saying, my bro?
Nothing much, man. Just waiting for this surgery.
Oh, yes. Well, we didn't say it last week, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Our listeners don't know as to why Jacob's going to be having a surgery soon.
Oh, yeah. Hamstring's gone.
Off the boat.
Yeah, done dizzle. Grade 4C strain, so hamstring is gone. And I need a surgery. So my season is effectively finished football-wise. So I would spend a lot more time podcasting and focusing on stuff like this.
Really. Country, realistically.
Yeah. Well, international duty next would be in June. So I had a conversation the other day with my head coach and we're still touch and go and hopefully we can make it maybe. But obviously...
Depending on how recovery goes.
And how quickly surgery is done and if how good effects and... You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if anything, I would want to be out there anyway. I'll probably be out there, but be with the boys, be with the camp. But
yeah, I'd like to be out there too.
So yeah, you and Grenada, you can't complain.
Yeah, it's true. So probably be out there, but playing, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mate, when you sent us the report, what they said, that's the most sophisticated way to say you're fucked.
Yep.
Well, like, it was gone. They were just saying that your hamstring's gone.
Yeah, the manager just said, yeah, your hamstring's not there no more.
Yeah.
In the nicest possible way.
It was finished.
Yeah.
Mate, I said, the detail in this, I was like, I've never seen an injury report like this.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. They're telling me this is gone. Seeing bicep and you're thinking your bicep's on your arm and you get what I mean.
Yeah.
You're seeing so many things, bicep femoris and this and that. So you're just like, yeah, it's gone. You could have told me it's gone, but I knew it was gone.
Yeah, because... You got 3 muscles in your hamstring, yeah? You tore 2 of them.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, because when you sent it, I said, this is for you. You lot are the technical ones with your hamstring injuries, the athletics, all that jazz.
Yeah, so 2 of them are basically gone.
Mm. Jeez.
That's why I struggle walking, sitting down.
This guy couldn't walk last week at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Driving. Because even if that just movement of the ankle affects like, the hamstring. The only part of the hamstring that feels good is like the inner fight, because that's where I haven't
done. Is that the third part that he hasn't?
Yeah, I think it's called membranosis or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Got semi-tem, semi-mem, and biceps fam.
Yeah.
Jeez. Heck.
Torn across 2 of them.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what it said. 11 centimeters, 5 centimeters, all that madness. I was just like, yeah. Well.
Is grade 4 the highest grade for a hamstring? Or?
It's the highest I've ever heard.
Yeah, because
there might be another grade for all 3 of them just collapsing.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on a tear.
Because you said, what, 4C or something?
Yeah. I think on a tear, grade letters. 4 is the highest you can actually have as a tear.
Mm. In most muscles, isn't it?
Like, yeah. So.
No, that's, But I knew from when you couldn't, like, drive it, I was like, this is, it's more than a tear.
Yeah, because I've had hamstring injuries before. Little ones that, they don't affect me to... Like driving, I could drive home I managed to walk off the pitch. Well, I didn't manage to walk off. I was on someone's shoulder. But yeah,
that's adrenaline though.
Adrenaline, yeah.
And then, because I managed to walk off the pitch, I said, I'm not the worst. But then when I couldn't drive, I said, okay. And then sitting down was a problem.
Did you get home that day?
No, I drove home, but I broke with my left foot.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and then I was looking at, I couldn't see out the front window because I couldn't bend forwards. So I was driving, looking out the back window. I was trying to get someone to pick me up, but I said, you know what? We're not far, far away. So like, if I drive 40 miles, Dartford,
yeah.
So I said to myself, let me just get in the car. And I sat in one position and just... If I had to use my left foot to drive, I was going across. So more time, I wasn't driving my right foot that day.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, where was that day? Was that the day I went to the Spurs-Fulham game at Fulham? Maybe.
Yeah.
If I was close enough and let me... Cause obviously, I think I remember saying to you, I saw the tweet. I was like, gone off in the 8th minute. I was like, shit, this must be serious.
Yeah.
And then
the worst thing was, there's no service in Dartford's ground.
Is it?
So I'm there on my phone. Can't even contact no one. They changed the Wi-Fi since I was playing there. So so I had to wait. I had to wait until like the, literally about when I managed to get in the shower and shower up. So I didn't go back out to the pitch till the 87th minute. Came off in the 8th and didn't see the pitch until the 87th.
Right.
That so, adrenaline was doing you good till you got home?
Yeah. When I got home, I was, yeah, done.
I explained at the point when you knew it was gone what you tried to do. Could you briefly tell us?
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to leave with glory. So took the touch in the box and I tried to dink the keeper.
He said he saw the lights.
Because I knew I was going to be out for a long time. You know, you got to leave on a high. So I thought, you know what? I'm there. Shit. May as well try and dink the keeper. I tried to dink the keeper and I watched the dink back. The dink, I think it left the ground by about an inch. It went over the keeper's leg and then hit the side net. And I said,
defender chasing you, merciful. What is this guy on?
Yeah, you know, this guy's finished, man.
Yeah, so unfortunately, season's over. But, you know, as I said, can focus on other things, focus on the recovery process and, you know, move forward with what I want to do in terms of everything else because I have time.
Yeah,
it's not often I get time to do other things. So
I mean, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago after we finished filming, like with Dead Misses, how much time you haven't had off in the last couple of years, summer wise, especially.
Yeah.
All like international, and this summer was looking again peak
because
it was 4 games, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's been changed now because Costa Rica have made the Copa America.
Oh, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I think it's been changed now. So it only might be 2.
Okay.
But still, it was going to be a busy period because you got to be out there. The season ends and you got to be out there like 10, 15 days later.
Yeah.
And then you got to be playing. You're back into training.
Yeah, because they'll want you out early.
Yeah.
Especially when the summer internationals, they know they got more leeway in terms of time. They don't have to consult nothing with the club.
Yes.
Get here 2 weeks early. Mm-hmm. Let's train properly.
Yes.
Do you understand why international managers don't get a lot of time to work with their players? So
yeah, no. As I said, good to have some time off. It is boring though because I'm used to being outside and I'm stuck.
Yeah, in terms of your routine.
Yeah,
always outside.
Yeah, I'm literally stuck in the doors and I'm just thinking. I'm there every day, like, okay, well, what do I do today? What book can I read? When you finish this book, you can't read enough of a book straight away.
Yeah.
I find myself just sitting there trying to edit things that I already edited. You get what I mean?
Trust. He'll start saying to us in the chat, oh yeah, this. Then he'll go 2 minutes later, I've already done it.
because you get bored, man. I'm not used to sitting at home. Used to being busy. So now just being literally stuck in my house. And I'm just on the physio's case trying to, every day, like, where can I go? Can I go to the surgeon? Can I'm allowed to do this? I'm allowed to do that? And he's just like, you know, you just got to relax and sit there. And I'm like, this is not my life, so.
Yeah, you got to take time, man. It's got to take time.
Because, you know, subconsciously, once you have your surgery as well, you're going to be just homebound for
another
good period of time.
Yeah.
So he's just trying to eliminate all that now before he actually has the surgery.
Yeah.
You don't want to aggravate it even more, but.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, man.
Yeah, but you know. Comes with a business, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Definitely.
I wonder how... Anyway, I'll find out how it is having surgery from a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Because you had a few, like when you used to do athletics, a few serious hamstring injuries, right? Or one
or
two.
Yeah, but not...
Not surgery
not
required.
Not surgery required, though.
Mm.
It's tore to the point where, obviously, like, it can't walk properly.
Right.
But a couple of days, you'd be all right. Or, like, been on crutches from it, but... You recover, innit?
Mm.
Like this tearing two muscles.
The only confidence I have in the surgical procedure is I've seen like De Bruyne have this one, Harry Kane had the same injury when he was at Tottenham. James Maddison had it earlier in the season. A lot of players have it. Well, this does happen to a lot of players,
and they do
get the surgery and come back from it quite strong, as you
can
see.
Yeah, loads of athletes do it as
well. Yeah, so it's just a case of. You know, that's why I'm confident in the surgery, but I don't know the pain I'm going to be going through after.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not one of the things that's going to really, really just stop me from doing anything. That's why I just hope it doesn't.
Would this be the longest you've been out for?
Injury wise?
Yeah. Obviously you've had niggles and that, then you'll come back and you'll come back early or play through the pain, etc.
Yeah, this would be the longest one. It shouldn't be the longest one because I should have been out for a long time with my ankle injuries.
Yeah.
But because ankles, you can kind of firm the pain to an extent.
He used to have Steph Curry ankles. Then he grew it strong like Steph Curry as well.
Yeah. So I've ruptured my ankle before.
Mm.
Twice.
Ooh.
But I came back from those relatively quickly just because I wanted to play. There were big games happening. I said, oh, and I wanted to play. Like even this last one that I've just done, it was probably the injury basically said I've re-injured my ruptured ankle.
Yeah.
But I came back after 3 weeks, which isn't ideal, but you want to play the game.
Yeah.
So you get what I mean. So yeah, this will be the longest period I'll be out for in terms of months.
Yeah.
Months. Yeah. I've not been out for, I've probably been out for like 2 months, 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks at the longest.
But this one's probably about 3 to 4 months. Yeah. Potentially.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm hoping it's trying to be another 8 weeker, but yeah.
This one, you gotta chill.
Mm.
You might actually have your first proper London summer for a long time. Yeah. Obviously mixed in with holidays, but yeah, where you can actually have a normal one where you can say gonna go. Yeah.
There's
none of this. Can I think of going on holiday because I've got to be back for football? Yeah. Do I want my normal rest period, etc. Yeah. All that jazz.
Well, I've got some news for you, mate.
Okay.
It's overrated.
That's coming from a man that doesn't have a schedule like yours.
Bro, it's overrated though. No, like London summers. Basic, man.
Yeah. No, it's not even so much to... That's why I was mixing like... He can actually do a holiday properly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or counter one.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I haven't been able to do that for a while. My missus has been annoyed because obviously we haven't been able to go away properly in terms of when and where. Because like, the first time we went away was my manager gave me a week off during the season towards the back end of the season because he knew that I was going to be on international duty the whole summer.
Yeah.
So I went away that summer. Last summer was so busy, couldn't get anywhere.
Oh yeah, shit. I remember that one. Because I think I said to my sister, I was like, why is this guy on holiday during the season?
Yeah.
And I think I asked you or something. Then you explained it.
Yeah, the manager gave me a week off. And he told me just be at the match on Saturday.
Yeah, fair.
So I just turned up to the game on the weekend and played the game. And then, obviously, last year, busy as hell with international. And this year we're planning to go away. But I still have to, I think I'm still going to be on international duty anyway. But in terms of this one, I think she'll be able to probably come with me.
Yeah.
Just because
I
ain't playing.
Trip to Grenada. Yeah. She's complaining. Yeah. Me and Dejordi said, go.
If you don't want to go, take me.
So yeah, Grenada, Trinidad, and I think Bahamas.
Oh, is that who you lot are playing?
Yeah, because Costa Rica game, I don't think it's going to be on. So if it's not Costa Rica, it'll be Bahamas.
Fair.
So yeah, man.
I mean,
that's still 3 places I ain't been.
Yeah.
So. Nah, trust.
So I want to go there.
Oh, have you been Bahamas before? You've obviously
yeah,
been
not,
Trinidad.
Not Bahamas. So that's one place I want to do. We not been to Bahamas yet.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, somewhere I haven't been. Yeah. Trust. I'm looking forward to it. So
have you been Costa Rica?
No.
He'll probably knowing him, he'll probably just say, yeah, let me travel to it. come into tea, go to the camp.
Yeah, no. But hopefully I'll be with the boys. Just won't be able to be on the pitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be good though.
You'll get the best of both worlds, bar not playing. But
yeah, I've got a question for both of you.
Yes.
Go on then, Gaze.
Obviously, hypotheticals. If I gave you $10 million, but the condition. Of you accepting this money is that you cannot travel for the rest of your life. And wherever you accept this money is where you have to stay for the rest of your life. What country would you live in?
Well, first, the first question is, would you accept the condition?
Oh, yeah, 10.
And then the country. You could go.
So, 10 mil to stay somewhere.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life, shit.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Especially you, that's a jet setter.
Man, Houston, Texas.
I knew it.
probably Houston because America's big enough for me to holiday in America.
Do you know what's mad? When you said that, I was literally thinking that. Sorry to cut you off, because Shannon said, I think they asked him last week on one episode, or either on first week or... Nightcap, and he said, no, it was Nightcap. He said he hasn't traveled outside of America for time.
Is it?
Yeah. But yeah, sorry. Yeah, it just made me think. No,
yeah, America. So America's big enough to vacation in America. Yeah. So I can holiday in America.
Mm.
Whereas if I'm living in England, where you want me to go? Brighton? Cornwall? I have to hope for the sun?
Devon.
Yeah. So America, yeah.
It's nice in Devon, though.
It might be nice, but I don't see the sun like I'm seeing it in Houston. I could go to Miami. I could go to the, like, I can holiday to different places.
You and can feel literally like get all seasons in the whole of America, probably.
Yeah. I go to New York if I want a winter holiday.
Yeah.
So it would be America. Not that I want to live in America, because I'd prefer living in London than living in the US.
Yeah.
But I think it would be there. And Grenada, the Caribbean is too slow.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't do the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Too slow.
Too slow. Like, the countries are too slow.
And probably small. Well, yeah.
The size doesn't matter. It's just the country's slow. Like, everyone does everything too slow. You get there and you fall into their way of, let's just chill out. That's why everyone's always late to everything.
Black man timing.
Yeah.
What's that?
So, yeah.
BMT.
It wouldn't be the Caribbean. Probably Houston, Texas. Yeah.
How are you, Joe?
It'll have to be somewhere in America as well. Just for the fact that you can actually holiday east, west coast, south, north. Mm. Do I have to state where in America as well?
No.
I mean, I will.
just the reasoning, that's all.
Because initially I was going to say no.
Yeah.
To the 10 mil and staying in location. America never really appeals to me to live there. Yeah, to visit is completely different.
Than, yeah.
No offense to our American followers or listeners, but then Miami changed my perception when I went there last year.
Right, because
I just feel like Miami's very, you've been there before, so I feel like it's very different from a lot of the other states that I've been to and stuff.
Obviously,
I've not gone West Coast or anything like that, but just to the East Coast states, and just the Miami natives themselves, they seem more chilled. And maybe that's to do with, obviously, I think they earn higher wages in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we were speaking to one British guy out there that's living there now, he's been living there 19 years. He said he was meant to move for 2 years, but flipping. He said, I think last year, it was either him or Brad that said it, one or two, because I think Brad done his research, that 300,000 people living in LA moved to Miami last year alone, because, like, say wages, I don't know, so much, so, like, in terms of
taxes,
that's definitely a major part. What's the word that I'm looking for? Not expats, because that's more Brits living abroad, but
like nomads,
yeah, to an extent, but yeah, in terms of just moving across, different way of life, one, and yeah, just going back to holiday, I was like, do you know what? Even when we were walking about everything, obviously we partied quite a bit, but when going into town and stuff like that, and then obviously by South Beach, like, bro, like, people just waking up to work out on South Beach. As basic as it sounds, it was a bit surreal, do you know what I mean? Because you don't really see that like that.
Yeah.
Ours is like the parks.
Yeah, you're seeing the people do the bars.
And yeah, and stuff like that. It's just like, do you know what? There, and like you said, again, with the states, can just have holidays within the country more so. Whereas, like, obviously you can do the exact same here, but you're less likely to encounter warm weather, etc. If that's the case, you might as well stay in London.
Yeah,
it's like don't get seasonal changes. Whereas in America, like, you know, don't really go Miami during summer period. Our summer period, it's going to be hot, but it's also like hurricane season for them, like tropic season and all that jazz. So
you can just go somewhere else for the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and yeah, like you said, go New York's mad hot in the summer, because I've been there summer and winter, and it's mad sticky in the summer. Like, I didn't really like it too tough, but I've been there in the winter where it's blitz as well. And like, even my friend that lives out there, you see the snow coming up, like, no cap, like, that high. It's stupidly high, and it can get. You see it with the Bills, Buffalo Bills,
yeah.
when they're playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like, yeah. So yeah, I will accept that 10 mil. Yeah. Now I thought about it, but obviously I want to really go to Houston, as per Jacob's recommendation a long time ago.
I was gonna pick America as well, innit? Even though I ain't been there yet, but because of those reasons where you can just holiday in different parts.
Mm.
There's different time zones in the country, like
that's
and even different places have like different seasons as well.
Yeah,
it's the fact that many Americans say that, the ones that haven't traveled outside the country, like, you kind of understand why they haven't.
Yeah, they don't feel the need to, because they can just, the flights across country are long anyway.
Yeah,
flying to England.
Yeah, LA to New York's about 6 hours, ain't it? Also,
like, you've got long haul flights.
That's crazy,
bro. In the same
country. That's like going to Nigeria.
Bro, London to New York's, I think when I went, it was 6 hours.
It's not a long flight. So.
Wow. Yeah, bro, it's nuts.
What's London to LA then?
Oh,
probably 10, 11 or something. 11. Probably like flying to Mexico or Miami.
Yeah.
On the map, you'd think it would be longer, innit? Because of, like, say, the distance. But, you know, flight status is different in terms of.
Yeah, true.
They know how to maneuver, like, because Miami's down there, LA's down there.
Yeah.
But you'll wonder, how come the exact same? Obviously, I don't know how long the exact flight is, but. Let me see now, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it would be because the Caribbean's obviously 9-10 hours away.
Yeah.
And that's closer to the Miamis and that sort of stuff.
Oh, so for London to LA is 11, just about 11 and a half hours.
If the money changed to like 100 mil, does your answer change?
That even solidifies it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because I need to. But the thing is, if you told me 10 mil and I got to stay in London.
How much not to accept?
More than you offer me, more than a 10.
No, as in like, how much would, or if I said like, $1 million, would you accept it?
$1 million to go and live in America?
No, live wherever for the rest of your life.
And stay there?
Yeah.
$1 million?
Yeah. Nah. So what's your minimums?
10.
I think the 10.
10.
10.
Yeah.
So would you do it for 9?
Oh, here we go.
I knew you were trying to. That's why I left you to answer it because I knew you were going to suck
it. I told you, nah, 10. 10 is my minimum. I'm not doing it for 9. I don't want to go.
Fibber!
No, I'm not
doing it for 9. He done this to us,
didn't he? Yeah, I did this. Yeah, 10's my minimum. I can't do it for 9 because I don't want to. I'll be honest, I don't really want to live in America.
No, I hear that.
Unless the opportunity is great, yeah.
That's the thing. But I actually quite like living. I like actually living in London.
Yeah,
but I just don't know how far. Okay, I moved to America. I have 10 mil. I'm gonna want to live in a nice place. My house is gonna cost me
like three mil.
So I got 7 mil. Mm. I can work with the 7 mil for the rest of my life. Easy. I can make money. But in London, bro, my house I'm gonna buy might cost me 5 mil.
And it's even not as big.
And you get what I mean. Then my maintenance on that house gonna cost me what?
Upkeep 200k.
You get what I mean. So at the end of the day, and I don't have the sun, and I gotta stay here miserable.
Yeah.
I'm miserable with money.
That's the thing, yeah. London's actually good to live in. Obviously, bar the prices of everything, it's just extortionate and it takes the piss now. But as long as you can maneuver yourself and somewhat jet set, you can be so content living in London. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just the thing that's so off putting now is
having
everything.
No holiday.
And house prices, the cost of living, effectively, as cliche as it sounds, our transport's ridiculous price. In fact, transport in the UK is like getting silly. Trains to other cities. Mm. Getting a flat somewhere in Europe is cheaper.
Yeah. No, it's true. So, it's true. I think even flying to other cities is cheaper than getting on a train nowadays.
Yeah. It's just if it logistically makes sense. Yeah. And that's the... Mate.
London, like, England's just crazy for... I don't know who's robbing the money, but someone is.
Mate, I felt it. I've beginning of this month, my roll card ran out.
My goodness.
And like, in the sense that I can't get a new one.
You can't get this kind.
Yeah, unless it's the family and friends one. Jesus. And even then, I was like, can I work my way around that? Or on the train, they'll ask. Yeah, who you with?
You expect to still come on the train?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Even when I was working, when I came from Doncaster to Coventry for your FA Cup game, bro, both my trains, my train to Birmingham and then my train from Birmingham to Coventry. Spectres there. Bro, on serious trains, of course.
Yeah, I got on a train to Peterborough and there was...
They get bread though, they get like 50 racks.
What them, man? Train inspectors. Well, they got to stand on a train for hours every day, innit?
Yeah, just protect revenue. Get commission for every revenue they protect, basically. Goodness.
Yeah, but nah, this is just...
Bro, madness. Like...
Especially the ones posted at like London Station, like King Cross and all them things.
Yeah. Bro, I said to my sister the other day, my sister that lives in Manchester, I was like, yeah, you better have room for me because I ain't paying for no accommodation because I have to actually pay full train fare. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I wonder how much is it to Manchester?
What, train?
Yeah, because your sister actually asked me the other day.
See, I've always got the roll card price in my mind. So an open return on a roll card is always around £60.
That ain't the price.
So,
the price might be like 150, so it's like 180,
at least 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's...
Mad.
Obviously, if you're choosing selected times, because I've never done that, I'd always be flexible in it, so I don't mind paying the extra. You're getting the discount on the roll card. Because
yeah.
the roll card discount helped 33%.
Yeah, that's a big thing. It helps, yeah.
Especially when you're paying £100 plus.
Yeah.
So I'll just slack. And I felt like I utilized having a roll card one early and as maximizing it as much as I possibly
so
could.
So you can't get a new roll card?
No, once. So obviously, I've had a 30 now, but it goes up to. So you can, I think you can still apply for yours to go past your 31st birthday, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what? I don't need one, innit? I know you don't need one.
So,
but I'm not on the trains like that. So how does it? How does the rail card work? It's 21 to 30.
No, it's 21 to 25, and then
yeah, then there's 26 to 30,
and then after that you're just done.
Yeah, until you can get like a family and friends one,
yeah.
where you get the same discount. But I think you all have to travel together.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So you're telling me once you hit 30, they basically say, yeah, all the best.
Or
yeah.
there's like a two together rail card.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you're in like a couple or like, it could be you and your brethren who's travel a lot, get a two together rail card.
Yeah. But you have to always be together when you're traveling.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Or there's a network rail card right. that you can get as well, innit? Which you might be able, you might try and see if you can get one.
Someone needs to look into that for me still. Yeah. I might have to.
My goodness.
Yeah, bro.
I didn't realize, you know.
You know, it's mad.
Once you hit 30, they basically just say, yeah, that's it. No, I didn't even realize because obviously I'm not 30, I'm 26. But when I do get on the trains, I'm just like, okay, cool, that's the price.
Yeah, because you don't do a lot of train journeys. Yeah. Whereas, like, yeah,
we do bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go. You've been
training every day, innit?
Huh?
You've been on the train.
No, yeah. no, this is. I never use my roll card, UK, unless I was going to, like, when I went Maidstone. That's where you'll see the
effectiveness. Maybe when you're going into Central.
No, because I was going every day then, it's weird. I don't know if you can apply it on your Oyster those ones back then or whatever, or could you?
So you're spending money.
I think
because when to I be got fair,
that's when work used to cover my expense.
Cool.
So I don't think I could then, innit? When I became permanent in my team now, that was during COVID. So I'm going in way less. I'm picking my days.
Right.
Whereas then when I was going in 5 days a week, I was at my old company, but they were the ones covering my expense.
Anytime man step on that overground trains, yeah, I make sure I get discount, fam.
I
go to the ticket office, like give me the discount, boom boom boom.
But you see that's been a complaint over the last couple months or even years now, that they're effectively closing
yeah,
more ticket
offices still.
Now. Everything's just machinery, which means people are losing their jobs as well.
Right. Yeah,
I went from Victoria to East Croydon for £2.
Try.
Yeah.
Bro, every time I do get on the train,
the ticket the other day.
We need to talk.
£2. Every time I get on the train, it cost me like 14 for the day, like £14.25 or something like that.
What your zone 5 or 6?
I don't know what zone I am, but when I get trained,
you're minimum 5. I don't know if you're 6.
I do not know what zone you are.
I don't get on a train the thing is, I never go on a train from my area. I drive to East Croydon, park my car East Croydon.
East Croydon zone 5.
Yeah, and I get on a train from East Croydon and I just go about my day.
Oh,
from
East Croydon. Just parking at East Croydon?
Round the back.
You don't need to know. He'll tell you off camera. You can't let others know.
Yeah. So
where you going to think you're going to your spot?
You know what? Edit this out.
And someone's taking your spot.
Yeah. So I park at East Croydon.
You don't know, bruv.
Park at East Croydon. And then literally walk to the station, get on a train from East Croydon. But usually I'm getting trained from down here into London, then from into London into North London and then coming back.
Oh.
You get what I mean?
So
I think your cap for the day is about £12.
But when I see it's 14, I've seen £14.
Unless the part of North London you're going is zone 6, maybe.
It's like zone 3 for him.
That means it shouldn't be more than...
I'm going to like Hendon, Mill Hill, Broadway.
Oh, 4.
Yeah, this is my TFL guy.
Yeah,
I was actually bragging to you about one of my colleagues the other day that I don't really check up anywhere I'd needed to go in the past. At a part of, say, Northwest London or Northeast, I used to call Dej and I'll be like, tube line, I'm going to this stop. And Dej will be like, give me a second. And I'll be like, get Red Clue line to here. switch over, circle line, blah, blah, blah. It's only the odd times I'll do CFL, majority I ask it, but
they just know the route.
They just know.
Yeah, man, I just travel.
Yeah,
man, TFL routes, mad.
I used to go, like, see the undergrounds? Anywhere that will take me, I'll go.
Oh, okay. That's the one thing that Croydon needs, you know?
Yeah, underground. South London. South East London, yeah. Sorry.
Because we got underground, we're in the money then.
Mate, closest...
Brixton.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said something about... It's the materials of the land that's beneath South ain't great.
Right.
And the hills as well. And there's no actual business case that exists to have an underground station in like South. I think the only one after Elephant is Old Kent Road.
Yeah, because they were planning on putting one in Old Kent Road.
Mm.
I don't know why. I remember my friends that live close by, they were not enthusiastic, but they were quite upbeat about it potentially going there, but I can't remember what happened.
Yeah, no, because underground's so quick. It's just efficient, it's quick.
Yeah, so literally no one hasn't, like, no one's picked it up yet, basically. No one in Gov's picked it up to...
To
make sure that this will get done. But there's frameworks around it, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're all right with this. East Croydon's a great station. That's what I can say.
No, that is one good thing. Yeah. Getting to London, like places around London, bro, or even if you're going outside of London the opposite way,
down to
the coast, then.
Mm. Yeah, because it's Brighton.
Yeah. In fact, East Croydon even goes Cambridge.
Yeah, it does. East Croydon goes East Croydon goes from here to Bedford.
Yeah, it goes Luton. Luton Airport.
It does.
Yeah. Goes up to Cambridge. Yeah. The odd time, it will do the train to Peterborough. I'm like, sorry, what?
Yeah.
So
that's decent, though.
Yeah, man. No. Used to go... I don't think it goes Portsmouth anymore, but...
No, it does. It still does. Harbour.
Yeah, but I remember they took it off for a period of time. Yeah. So they must have bringing it back. Stuff like... Cause I remember I was working in Portsmouth. Bloody... Like a decade ago or so, for a period of time, I was like, it's actually calm, like, getting it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was only there for like a week or something, but the train journey itself. But yeah, the rail car thing, well, I used to, obviously, when I was living in Cardiff, come back and from, if I weren't getting coach, get this kind of rail card, if I'm going to watch football off end.
Yeah.
Rail card, other cities. Visiting many, blah blah blah.
Full price now,
mate.
You're not traveling as much anymore.
That network rail thing, I'm fully. I think I've even opened the tab. So
yeah, no. Look into it. Hopefully,
this is one that I hadn't known.
Mm.
It doesn't sell me a dream, and then
there's stipulations with that one, but
what's
it won't really affect you like that.
What's that bus that people used to get to uni? I went to see my sister in York one time.
Megabus.
Cost me £5.
Yeah, Megabus.
Yeah. I was on the train. I got the train and the bus.
Mm. Train and a bus?
Yeah, so I got the train.
For £5?
Yeah, for a fiver.
I don't know.
Oh, wait. No, you're talking about Oxford Tube.
No, she was in York.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't know then.
It was a blue and yellow.
That's Megabus.
Yeah, so I got the train.
They have a train.
I got the train. No, they don't have a train. I got on the trip. They had the train.
Oh, but it was like a package
cost
ticket
me £5
together.
This was also, my sister is 32. So this was also when she was in uni, this might be 12 years ago, people. So £5.
You might have got a child ticket, bro.
That is also very true. That was also very true because 12 years ago, I was a child. God. End it out.
No,
I did. I was 14.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, 14, 15. Yeah, yeah, this, yeah, this is making
but to
more
be
sense.
Fair, Megabus was like, it was mad cheap if you book it way in advance.
Yeah, yeah, £5.
So. I remember going to see you in Cardiff with Megabus.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
How much that cost you?
I can't even remember.
It would have been cheaper.
But that journey was a long ass journey, man.
Yeah, it's
the cheapest
4
option.
4 hours, yeah. That was for my birthday, innit?
Mm.
I know, what was that, my 20th?
19th? I was chatting to Ash about that last night, you know.
Jeez. That was a great night, man.
That's the only time I went Cardiff.
Oh boy, Cardiff.
I didn't see it during the day. I only saw it at night.
Cardiff.
Yeah, you landed the evening time. Obviously, November's dark. And then... got ready and went out, then
straight to the club.
Good night out though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've been Cardiff one. Well, I've been Cardiff to play football there, but then I've been, we stayed over and went out for a night out.
In our heyday, it was good, man. It was really good.
I remember putting my cards, I wanted to get cash out, I put my card in the machine, but I was so waved, I couldn't remember my pin. And I remember I dropped my iPhone as well, and it smashed.
Jai, I was gonna say that's a sign of a good night.
Yeah, it was. It was calm still.
Yeah, boy.
I enjoyed myself.
I still got that picture as well.
Yeah, same.
Alright, that was a good night, man. That was a good night.
We've been living.
We've been living, man.
Reminiscing on good times.
I'm just laughing. I can't even say this part, but I'm laughing.
I know what he's saying. I'll go off camera. He's a bad boy.
If we were a different podcast, we would tell those stories.
Yeah.
Who knows? That times may change. The audience might wonder. Who knows? I don't know, actually. That was a good, interesting question. Random as well.
Yeah.
Typical Dej. You know? Good one. Where I led to travel in the UK and all that jazz. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. I just spammed off at that question.
Yeah. The 10 mil, isn't
10 mil.
And it led back to London, basically. Well, back to the UK.
Back and ends.
Yeah.
So.
You can enjoy London. Not as much as there, though.
No, it's true. It's true. Cool. Let's move on to football. Because this is the last international break before the Euros. Mm. Get me? Going to be biased and just focus on the Euros.
And Copa, but yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, to be fair, we spoke about Copa. Well, briefly. A couple of weeks ago or so, but...
No, I've got something to say about that, that's why.
What about...
Yeah, yeah.
What about Copa or...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
About the CONCACAF in general. I'm going to start.
Go ahead.
Because the other night I was watching the CONCACAF Nations League finals.
Was that the US-Mexico game?
Yes, okay. That was the final.
When that guy scored that banger.
Yeah, Tyler Adams.
Before
that, Jamaica played US in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals.
Yes.
Right? Jamaica were 1-0 up until the 90th, I'm going to say 90th minute. The ball gets put up, it's 4 minutes added on.
I saw people tweet about this, but I didn't.
But I'm watching the game. Ball gets put up, it's 4 minutes added on. We're all messaging in the chat. The boys are saying, because we're bigging up our Caribbean nation.
Yeah,
come on, Jamaica. You get what I mean?
Oh, what, in your Grenadian chat?
Yeah. So we're bigging each other up. Yeah, cool. Grenada doing their thing. Not Grenada, Jamaica doing their thing. Let's go. We'd like to see the Caribbean boys succeed.
And you see them at the airport anyway.
Exactly.
Let's play two touch.
Exactly. So, but then it magically switched to 5 minutes added on.
What?
Yeah.
What? So they held up the board that says four.
Conspiracies.
Four. Then the thing on the screen magically just disappeared.
US were the hosts as well. Yeah,
of course.
Well, they were the home team. Yeah.
Magically just disappeared, switched to 5 minutes on. What happens?
You got a conspiracy with hosts, you know.
It's not wrong though, bro.
First was Qatar.
I'm sure there's been someone else as well.
But Qatar, you knew Qatar was moving mad. Qatar, every competition Qatar have hosted, some madness has gone on, you know. They won. How they won Asian Cup?
Well, let's stick to America. Let's stick to America.
They won Asian Cup with three penalties on the final. The bagsman scored a hat trick of three pens.
Come on, final.
But
it was just ridiculous how that happens. It gets added a 5 minutes on. I know Jamaica ended up scoring their own goal, so it was no fault of US's. But the time was 94 minutes.
Mm.
They score in the 94th minute, plus 94. You get what I mean. But the time wasn't the right time.
Bearing in mind, Jamaica took the lead after
30 seconds.
Yeah, it was in the first.
This is when that guy scored that long range thing, isn't it?
No, that was another game.
That was a Mexico.
That's
game.
The final game after. So basically, Jacob.
For Jamaica.
Jamaica scored a header. Oh. Greg Lee, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about the next game. They played the third place game against Panama.
Oh.
And they won that.
Oh, did they win that? I didn't even check.
That's when the guy scored that screamer.
Yeah, they won the third place game.
Who scored a screamer for them?
I don't actually know.
I haven't even seen their ones.
I think it's some young guy still.
Karai Anderson, one of the youngest ones. He's the one at Charlton.
Yeah, no, he's
in the mid.
Yeah, but that's my conspiracy theory. Honestly, some stuff needs to be fixed in at CONCACAF. Now I feel about it already because Qatar come to the Gold Cup.
Oh yeah,
seeing handball madness.
Are they at this summer's Gold Cup?
There's not Copa America.
Copa America Gold Cup's next year, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're potentially going to be in that one.
Qatar.
Yeah.
Get Gold Cup. Yeah, they'll be at Gold Cup. They always are now. It's their competition. They sponsor it. They sponsor it. So it's Qatar will be at the Gold Cup, but obviously big up Jamaica because they qualify for Copa America, first Caribbean nation to ever do, I think.
Lovely.
So they'll be in the Copa America this summer, so that's who we'll be supporting in the Copa America. But it's just a general, like, the CONCACAF Nations League, there's always something goes on in those games where you're like, come on, man. That Jamaica, not that they were meant to win the game because they went to extra time and then they obviously thought it fell off in extra time, lost 3-1. Mm-hmm. But it's just a case of, you can see something's always going to happen. Like, if it's not going in the way of the favoured nation, something's going to happen. The ref's going to give a penalty. Something's going to happen. Something always happens and it doesn't feel like, and I played the game, so I know it's nothing's rigged, but it just doesn't feel correct.
to play devil's advocate with this, yeah.
Mm.
We know that when human error is involved, anything can happen.
Right.
Just like at, not this AFCON, but the AFCON before. No, the World Cup actually, when the ref stopped the game at 80.
Oh, no, that was AFCON. The previous one.
That wasn't human error. That's called madness.
The referee stopped the game at 80 minutes. Man, then. Bro, you look at the clock and it's like 88 minutes or something. You're like, rah, mad.
Imagine if you was in that game.
I would have been absolutely fuming. Oh, my gosh.
A referee stopping the game at 80 minutes and then walking off and beefing the players like he's correct. And then when he comes back on, he stops the game at 92. No added.
Ooh, I just seen the goal you were talking about. Bang on. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my conspiracy theory. Not conspiracy, but that's my thing with the CONCACAF and that sort of stuff and Copa America. Big up Jamaica and all them nations that qualify. But whenever it's a host nation, we need to start being fair, CONCACAF. Please. Please, let's start just...
Hold on. So, where's next year's... Oh, no, it's
Gold Cup's in America, but Qatar sponsoring.
Pardon. Oh, okay, cool. Yes, that's it.
So, you know.
I was seeing Leon Bailey's been having some beef with Jamaica or some sort. Do you know, like, the story behind it?
Yeah, I understand. I understand why he's having that beef with them.
Because, obviously, he didn't play the last game. But I briefly saw it, but I didn't actually look into it already.
He's just basically saying that...
Or read it, sorry.
Essentially, the stuff that's happening in the nation in terms of... the way people are in the federation, the professionalism, that stuff I've spoken about off camera, you get what I mean? The professionalism to go along with what's going on in the nation in terms of, he said he has to book his own flights out there. Yeah. He said he hasn't been paid since he started playing for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that just the general pitches, they're not up to about standard.
Not having kit as well.
Yeah, there's just the general feel of the camp isn't professional enough. And like he said, he's doing it and he doesn't feel like anything's... He's not benefiting from it. He said he's benefiting... Like, he's giving the benefit to Jamaica. Like Jamaica are benefiting off him coming to the camp.
Mm.
And like he said, that's why he's taking like an absence for leave from the national team because it doesn't help him. He said he's going to focus on his club football. But I understand the frustrations he has because all of us Caribbean nation players... have the same form of frustrations in terms of in little different ways. Obviously, Leon Bailey's at the top, so he's coming from the Premier League to that. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas,
and to be fair, if someone's to speak out, you'd want the one at the very top to speak out in that case.
But there's these are conversations we all have within our federations anyway. You get what I mean?
Because I've just seen that supposedly the last international in November, him and another player called Trevante Stewart. Broke the team rules after leaving the hotel after curfew. So I think that's where him and the manager started to have some beef. I've seen managers Icelandic.
Yeah.
Icelandic in charge of Jamaican.
When he was getting off on his, he didn't even mention the manager. He was just chatting about Jamaican.
I saw him speak about like, the federation stuff more.
Yeah,
so. Bro, I've spoken about federations like
same modes
to you two, to my boys, like enough times, like, and I want like Mandem to play for their home nations, but I understand why they don't, innit?
It's difficult.
You get me?
Like you know, you don't know what comes along with it because the worst thing for certain players is when they usually go on their first call up, they go to the big tournament. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the big tournament, everything's correct, everything's in place. Once you leave the big tournament. And you have to go back to play Nations League games just in your country or you have to work out, you know, flying to other countries. That's when you start to see the professionalism drop. Or you just see stuff that you feel is normal because you've been playing football at a professional level in England or abroad. It's not normal to them. You get what I mean? Yeah. Down to the pre-match meals. Like, down to stuff like that sort of stuff. Like, they don't... It's not a thing where, okay, cool, we need to eat this and this and this and this before the game. It's, yeah, man, just eat anything.
So this is a quote that he said on the podcast. That he said it. He said, people don't know most of the time I book my own flight to make sure I reach the national team.
Yep.
The Jamaican Federation are very unprofessional. They send me my flight details. They send my flight details to me at 11 p.m. to travel the next day. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time I book my flight, but the national team does not pay me. I do not remember last time I received a dollar, like you said.
He said he hasn't received one dollar.
Very unprofessional. You turn up and there isn't even equipment or a shirt, like you said. In terms of travel, it's ridiculous. There's a lot, blah, blah, blah. I'm not expecting them to know all these things, but it is not like I'm a normal player, etc.
And even if it, even if you are a normal player, you expect these things kit.
Yeah.
I can be transparent, truthful about Grenada. We have the kit.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the kit.
Yeah, I've never heard you say anything in terms of like, those things. Yeah. Like, even to be fair, you don't really complain about
it. No, obviously there's internal, there's issues. Yeah. And there's issues in everything. I can complain about issues at my club football teams. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but the things that are a level of professionalism, we have brought that standard. You kind of got to bring the standard. And obviously the new manager, TC, has also brought that standard with him.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? And like the things he's complained about, like general, the things he complained about are stuff that you need to kind of have. I understand the flight thing. The flight thing, I understand. I really understand the flight thing.
No, it's ridiculous, bro.
I really understand the flight thing because, bro, you want to know where you're going and what time you're flying.
Man said at least you're getting your flight details at 11 p.m. to fly tomorrow. Regardless of what time it is tomorrow.
Yeah, like,
that's horrible.
Yeah, I understand that. Literally. Because that sort of stuff may happen. But he's also coming from a place where he's coming from a Premier League club. They need notice. So they need to know when you're leaving and when you're coming back.
Yeah, shit. Mm. In fact, all clubs.
So, like, remember, we have a date to leave. But if your flight isn't booked for that date, you're sitting there thinking, am I going training on Monday? Because
technically, they send, even though the club's going to send accept it, they send them like an invitation, isn't it? Yeah,
all the time.
You like, send it. At least maybe a week before or so.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So they'll send it to every club, innit, to say, we're calling them up for this. Your club can reject it, but they won't.
Yeah. Usually the letter goes, so usually, like, they send, so I'll tell you the process now, because I can. So, like, I've received our invitation letters for the stuff in the summer now.
Yeah.
Already.
So. Oh, you've got it already.
Yeah, so we receive our invitations now.
What is it? Is it actual letter?
Yeah, it's a letter, but it's via email. Obviously.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Times are changing.
Yeah. So you receive a letter now. So you receive a letter around now, and then obviously you'll receive a formal letter to the club just around the back end of the season. Mm. Just letting them know the time period that you're gonna be away for. So that means the club can then decide at the time period when you can come back into preseason.
So they'll know what schedule to make for you basically.
Yeah. And during the season it's the same sort of thing. So you'll receive a letter of invitation maybe 2 weeks before international break is coming up. Mm. And then obviously your club will then receive that letter. Then you all just conspire, okay, cool, you know I'm going these dates. Yeah, they know you're going these dates. And then you're gone those dates. You get what I mean? So,
Question though.
Yeah.
What if it's like your first call up? You know, like Kobe Mainoo got his first call up. How does that work? But he's already in the setup anyway. So he would have been gone.
We're going to come back to Euros, guys. This is a great combo. But he was already called up with England under 21. So he was already there.
So he's already there.
Yeah, so he basically explained it. Like Steve Holland, Gareth Southgate, one of his coaches, basically called him. He's already in St. George's Park. Mm. So it's basically like you're going from one corridor to another in uni halls or something like that.
Mm. Then with international stuff, there's always a standby list. So like you can be called up. So the only time I've known about the standby list is when we were Gold Cup. So there was us that got called up,
mm-hmm.
the squad of players, but there's also a squad of like 30. So it's a 23-man squad, but there's actually a squad of 30. If someone needs to leave camp, there's a standby.
Someone to come back in.
Yeah, of course.
And they always make a call up a bigger squad just before.
Yeah, yeah. So then the provisional squad, and then there's an actual
that's
squad.
That's the word, provisional. Oh. Yeah,
yeah. So
when Ben White left last year, someone else had to come in.
Nah, that was the actual squad. So that was the final squad he was in.
Oh, so if someone is the final squad, no one comes in for him.
So basically for the Euros, I think because you've already submitted it, whereas your provisional squad, so just for argument's sake, Euro starts in June. England may have a provisional squad of 35 men in May.
Mm.
They'll train in that, then the manager cuts down 12 people basically for the final squad.
Okay.
Leading on from that point, even in Gold Cup, when we went Gold Cup last summer, we had a squad of people in Grenada.
Yeah.
We had a big squad in Grenada training from when we first arrived in Grenada for the 2-week period we were in Grenada. We had a big squad training then. and there was only a certain amount of people that were going to the US to play the game.
So even when speak to Soleil, when he went AFCON, he was saying this is how much men were trained over Christmas. Then come January, 1st of January or whatever, that's when the manager made his final cut. And then everyone, if it, those that don't get called up, you either stay or go home or whatever, innit?
Yeah.
Depending.
Damn.
Stuff, and so. Sometimes, and what I do know what happened with Guyana this year or last year is because we're playing against them, they took everyone from Guyana where they were training their base, first base. They took everyone to their next base in the US.
Mm.
5 days before the game, they said, okay, cool, this is our squad we're going with.
Fair.
So they let everyone travel from everywhere to everywhere. Grenada, it was just a case of, look, boys, this is who's traveling here. If you make it, it was basically a, you can prove it. So you can get in the squad in those training sessions, you get what I mean? Because you have games in that time, you know, you're playing local teams and that sort of stuff. So you can get in a squad. There's the boys that, there's us that we know we're going. No, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Most know.
Solidify.
But if we get, say we get injured.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So there's those that know they're kind of.
It's not for you, man, to prove yourself.
Yeah, it's to a certain extent, because if them man are playing better than you in them times, and the manager, remember, TC was new.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So he'd never seen any of us. So that's why he wanted us in early.
Ain't he seen you before, though?
He's seen us play, but not in person. You get what I mean? So
for his own, judgment, basically. Yeah.
Mm. So that's why, essentially, when it came to the day, or when it came to those periods of time, training was real intense, just because everyone's thinking in the back of their mind, well, he don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start that game when we get to the US. You get what I mean? Yeah. So more time, foreigners, we're playing to start. We're competing to start. The locals are more time competing to make the squad. But they could also, if they play well enough,
they'll start.
Right? Yeah. It's football.
Because the home base players, majority of the time, they're there just before the guys traveling as well. Mm. So they would have already started the camp before Jacob's gone, for instance.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because the home base players, so the manager's got time with the home base players.
He knows all of them. We're new coming in.
Okay.
And if we don't bring the level of the training session up, because we're the foreign players meant to be the better players,
he's
looking like, why are you guys not bringing the level of the session up? You can't come into the session and be like these guys. You're in the professional setup. So that's when he starts. You get what I mean? That's when you can be in two minds. And you get what I mean? So that's like the process you go through.
Well, football tough, man.
Yeah, it's doggy dog.
Long. But yeah, going back to Euros, that was good though. Yeah. That was really good. Who have you guys got like for the favourites, et cetera?
England.
Oh, really?
Nah.
France or Germany?
To be fair, I had England ahead of Germany slightly. Germany are the hosts. Yeah, they are actually.
Do you know what? I do actually like the German. Germany. Cruz is back.
Actually, do you know what?
Give me some extra peas. Let me go one game.
let me give it to England. Yeah, let me give it to England because I've got the personnel to do it.
They should definitely be beaten.
Whether or not to win it, they can put it together, and Southgate.
You said his name.
Yeah.
Man said you said his name.
That's why. They're not winning, bro. He's the problem.
Because sometimes I think, like, we shouldn't even worry about these other teams' tactics. We should actually just go and beat them, you know?
Yeah, but Southgate's the manager.
Yeah.
That's my main issue with England. Like, you have the talent. You have the squad. But then again...
Do you think he holds them back?
I don't think he puts him in a position to succeed. I don't think he plays people in the right positions. I don't think he has any type of style of play. Everyone goes there and it's like, okay, cool. The Man City players are trying to play the Man City way. The Man United players are doing what they do at their club.
You know what we do.
You don't know what you guys are
doing. Exactly.
So, but you get what I mean. You got Pickford in goal. Man's a relegation goalkeeper right now. No offense, but you get what I mean. Like, there's so many different styles on the football pitch. Man are trying to work out what's going on. There's no like set in stone style. Whereas you got Germany.
He's got his own battle.
Yeah, but you got Germany. You know what France are gonna do.
System.
There's a system, and you know who they're playing through.
Germany definitely system.
You get what I mean. Spain.
Germany have been shaky for a couple of years though, but I feel like
they're coming.
They're starting to get it.
They're cooking.
Spain, you know, there's a system.
Yeah, just the players just aren't as good.
Yes, but there's a system to how the game's going to go and how they're going to work the ball. And I just don't feel like England have that. So that's the only reason why I can't choose England. They have one of the top two squads.
If I go through the top teams, for instance, you've got Germany, Spain, Italy, England, Holland, France, Belgium, yeah, not as much, nah. And Portugal. Portugal are very strong.
They are, but Cristiano Ronaldo will still be the main.
I don't think man in that holds them up as like, not to say really did, but just say for argument's sake, last tournament in the sense that. Like, I feel like when I watch Portugal, everyone knows their roles, and he knows that. I think he's got to the stage, he knows he's not the same player now. That your ego will come down a bit. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong, but
yeah,
just what I see from Portugal, their team cohesion looks proper because they know their outright leader. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And effectively, for them, it's like how Argentina play for Messi, a lot of them play for Ronaldo.
Yes,
so. Like they've got a vet. They're one of my teams to go in and win it.
I would like it if they did, to be honest.
They're good at knockout competitions.
I like Ronaldo, innit?
They're good at knockout competitions. Italy, dark horse, because knockout competitions in order to win.
And they're the holders of the Euros, even though they didn't qualify for the World Cup, jokers.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Tournament football is completely different. You might be the best team there, but you don't have. You can go to penalties.
No, sure. I mean, that's where people go back to your Southgate point. The final against Italy, arguably England better team on paper.
Yep.
And England took the lead, and England basically sat back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had one more shot on target throughout the whole game. Bearing in mind, I think Shaw gave England lead within the first 4 or 5 minutes or something like that.
They looked like dominant that time. They looked like they were going to go on to dominate the game.
Yeah. And just let Italy overpower in terms of controlling the game.
Mm-hmm.
They get their goal. It's like, boom.
You allowed Italy to kind of do what they wanted to
do. Dictate the game. And that wasn't the Italian squad where, obviously, say, Pirlo, De Rossi days, they're more dictators. That's not happening.
Yeah, it was the Jorginhos. They just played a smart game. They played tactics. You saw Bonucci doing madness to Saka.
That was the best England. England were the host, basically. Even though it was shit.
England played every game at Wembley.
Bro, yeah. So it's like, bro.
It was your best opportunity to win.
That's your best opportunity. No, it was.
Croatia still flying about. You know them. They always do a job at tournaments.
So they're in the same group as Spain and Italy.
Croatia, don't sleep on them because they always do a job at tournaments.
Can never count them out.
Yeah.
They've got to World Cup, the last two World Cup semi-finals at least, semi-final and final. Yeah. So. But, it's just, if you're saying in terms of like the players, I'm not going to say pick your 11s, but what would be your, because you're most likely talking about midfield onwards, because I feel like England are quite limited in defence. And to be fair, in central mid, but.
John Stones would be in my team.
100%.
What, in centre mid?
No. Defending.
It's England's best centre back.
Who's in your back line?
You might as well do your quick team then.
For England?
Yeah.
Catch you off
guard. Who's going to go for you?
I would put Ramsdale probably in goal.
Nah.
You better go in Pickford.
I don't think Ramsdale's better than Pickford.
Honestly,
I don't think there's
Ramsdale don't concentrate,
honestly,
man.
There's no correct decision for goalkeeper.
Yeah. So, I think out of all actual goalkeeping abilities out of all the keepers, I think Nick Pope's the best.
Yeah,
but he's the worst
with his feet,
and he's injured.
Yeah, so okay, let me go.
And Pickford's usually good for England in tournaments, especially that one. I can't lie, he never underperforms in tournaments.
Do you know what? Okay, let me go, man. Let me go Pickford because he's playing right now. Yeah, not playing. Pickford. He's
undisputed number one for England at the moment.
Kyle, we playing 3-5-2. What's their formation?
Whatever you want.
But 4-3-3 has been.
That's what they're playing. Okay, Kyle Walker.
What they've done over this international.
Nah, you know, I'm not even playing Kyle Walker right back.
Or 4-2-3-1, whichever.
No, I'm doing because I need to get Harry Maguire out of this team. Nope, no, I am. Kyle Walker right back. John Stones. Tomori.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing Luke Shaw left back.
If he's fit.
If not, I'm playing Trent right back and Kyle Walker left back. Yeah, man, I'm firm in it.
England ain't blessed with left backs, have we? Yeah,
there's no more Ashley Coles. Midfield three.
Obviously, Ben Chilwell. So.
Yeah, no. Declan Rice. Jude. And Philip Foden.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going Harry Kane up top.
Yep.
Saka on the right.
Yep. Saka solidified that right wing spot.
Yeah, and I'm playing Raheem Sterling on the left wing.
Sterling's not even made the last 4 squads now.
That don't bother me. For England, that man's the best.
He is.
When he plays for England, he's the best. I don't care about
his most consistent in the last couple of tournaments.
Yeah, Raheem Sterling.
Well, especially last Euros.
I like that squad. The only thing I would change is your squad. So I would have Walker, Stones. I'll put Maguire in there. And I'll put Shaw in there. Because Maguire for England is different Maguire.
Yeah, the tournament.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
and if Shaw's fit, I'll start him.
Yeah, easily.
My midfield three will be Bellingham. Left. Declan Rice on the right. Maynou in the middle. And front three.
That's England's midfield against Belgium. So,
is it?
Yeah.
My attackers will be Kane out front.
I just think Jude's 10.
Saka on the right and right. Foden on the left.
I just like Foden in the middle more, so it can. I want him on the ball more often than not. I don't want it, someone having to feed him it. I want him to get on it.
See, I was having this convo in my group chat last week, and they basically had the same midfield as you. And I was like, obviously, I feel like Man City attacking players, for instance, it's hard to put them. Foden, especially, actually, I should say, it's hard to put him in a specific position for England.
Because he'll just float
because
around.
Pep utilises him so much for Man City. Obviously, he plays majority of the time right wing, but for England, that's Saka's. Like, you don't want to... And Foden only played it the other day because Saka pulled out the squad. Do you know what I mean?
But strategic. Like,
but then I said to my boys, with your midfield three, I was like, would you do that against the top teams?
Yeah.
My only point on that, obviously... Bellingham is naturally more of an 8 box to box.
He's playing 8. He's not playing 10 on my team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that was their point to me. And I said, this season in Real Madrid, or if you want to go off how the player's playing in the season, he's been playing higher up. Do you know what I mean? As a 10.
But that's because you got people like Cruz, Tchouameni behind you. You've got players behind you that can do the right roles. You got Declan Rice. Who was he playing with the other day? Declan Rice and who?
Conor Gallagher.
See what I mean? You can't play Conor Gallagher in that behind you, man. You can't go from Tchouameni and Cruz to Declan Rice. No offense to them, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he played. Whereas if you're saying you'll play him next to Rice, basically.
Of course.
I'm not even fully pushing back on that. My only somewhat slight on that is, I think now because he's shown how effective he is. Further forward, I think it'll give a manager a bit of a headache.
It would do, but you have to think who's actually better in that 10 role. Foden, in my opinion, Foden is way better than. He's actually a way better footballer than Jude Bellingham, in my opinion. Not even in my opinion. Foden is a way actual better footballer.
Do you know what? I'm not going to say way. I'm going to say he's better.
Bellingham's more of a stallion than Phil Foden.
You wouldn't put Bellingham. There's no way if Bellingham went Man City. Bellingham's playing 10.
But I don't know. I just... Because to be fair, Foden doesn't really play 10 for Man City.
No, I know. But I'm also of the belief... You can shoot me down for this one. If Bellingham goes Man City, he ain't starting every week either.
Nah, he is.
I think he is.
He is.
In the midfield?
Yeah, he is.
I think him and Rodri would be people that would start all the time. Like, Pep will...
They don't play two and a one day.
He'll jiggle something around.
He'll start though. Man City were to sign him last summer, he would have started easily.
No, not every week. You know Man City. Come on, people. You know Man City. How it works at Man City. You sign there, you best start to learn how to play.
You know when
us.
There's just some players, like, you know...
There's no one
you know
like that.
There's some players, you know where they're going, they're going to start.
Not for Pep.
Do you know what I mean?
There's two free men for Pep Guardiola that have ever done that.
KDB.
Kevin, Erling Haaland and Rodri.
Yeah, no, I...
That is it. And guess what?
And Bellingham would be the new person. He'll be number four.
He wouldn't. Do you know why? Because Bernardo Silva is a better footballer than Jude Bellingham.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Kevin Bernardo De Bruyne is going to accommodate somewhere else. No, and Foden will as well.
But Kevin De Bruyne is also a better footballer than Jude Bellingham. Is Rodri. So you've got three midfielders that are better than Jude Bellingham.
But I'm saying, because Pep's shown that Bernardo will play on the wing.
Yeah, I understand Bernardo can play on the wing. But I'm just saying, if you want your best midfield three there, Jude Bellingham ain't going to be in your best midfield three.
But... What? You're saying it from yours. I'm saying the way we've seen how Pep is. We've seen Foden and Silva play on the wings in many games.
Yeah.
So if Bellingham came, that would be the same thing, bro.
He will, but you also know that he's not starting every week.
He is, man.
You man know Pep.
He more or less is. Obviously, Pep's a tinker man.
The only comeback I'll have to that is, Pep don't really like obviously Pep's nature is not to put people on every week, innit? He's a tinkler, he's a master tinkler. He's gonna do something somewhere.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But I also don't think that he's coming in there. He might start the first five games, yeah? And it's a case of like, okay, cool. Yeah, you don't really know our system like that. Sit down, watch this system,
but,
and learn how to play it. Bro, I swear every player, apart from Kevin De Bruyne, even Rodri at points did not play.
I'm telling you.
Harden had to play.
I'm glad he ain't at City anyway, man.
Who, Jude?
Yeah, man.
I'll be honest, he's not Manchester City footballer.
I think Bellingham's footballing ability is underrated.
He's too big for that club.
Because he looks... He looks unorthodox.
I'm not saying that.
Bellingham doesn't look as clean. I feel people should watch him properly. Quite, he's very effective. Like,
no, I'm not saying.
And he knows what to do on the ball. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's better footballers than him. But like, his all-round game, and this is not even a positional thing, just the way he plays all-round, it maximises him more than it does others. Or like, push. Do you know what I mean?
I understand where you're coming from. He maximises himself
more than other players does. Yeah, if that makes sense.
I totally get that. And I'm just... But all I'm saying is that in that Manchester City side, if he was to
I think you can say that with most players going into City.
No, but that's what I mean. But I'm saying the only players that that guaranteed play, I think, okay, Mbappe goes there, you're guaranteed starting every week. Vinicius goes there, you're guaranteed starting every week. I can't... Outside of them, man, yeah?
Yeah, but you... All right. Think of midfielders then.
That are guaranteed starting every week at Manchester City? Yeah.
That will go there and start every week.
Yeah, there ain't any.
There's not a lot in the world.
You're not wrong. But Jude Bellingham is not one of those.
I think he would. I genuinely think he would.
But he's not better than what they have.
I just feel like the way we know what Pep will do.
I think he is.
Pep will find a way.
Who's he better than? Who's he better than the midfield? Be honest.
I think he's better than all the midfielders besides KDB.
He's better than Rodri.
He's not as good a defender, but...
No, he's better at Rodri than midfield.
Rodri's strictly... Yeah, that's Rodri. Let's leave
Rodri... Besides Rodri and KDB...
He's better than Bernardo Silva in midfield.
Yeah, I think so.
He's not a better footballer than Bernardo Silva.
Not even close. That's not even a discussion.
I need my ballers to be effective.
And what's Bernardo Silva? Plays every week effective.
What's Bellingham though? Ain't they effective?
I'm just saying
they'll all start. That's my point. They'll all start. Pep will find a way. Whoever play three at the back, they're all starting. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's whether who's starting where. All I know is they're all starting.
You might be but right.
Let's go back to England.
So that was my point. They're all starting.
We're still on England. Bellingham. But yeah, Joe, your team.
My point on that was, obviously, I was saying to my boys, is the Bellingham and Foden two attacking against, say, top teams? Do you know what I mean, for instance? But Jude is an actual centre mid.
He's an eight. He's a box-to-box. He's a workhorse.
So, I do get it. And then other people said Madison instead of Foden or...
Not better than Foden.
Nah.
Foden, behind Harry Kane, is the best England player.
I feel like he's England's best natural footballer.
Yeah, but behind Harry Kane, he's England's best player.
What? England? Yeah.
No, just in general. In England.
Woo! That's coming from... It's because you're not on Twitter.
I'm
saying Arsenal fans aren't having that. And you're an Arsenal fan.
They don't know football. They just like Saka. Don't let Arsenal fans gash you with Saka, man.
We should have some Saka water. Next time we talk about Saka, just get hold up the water and go like this.
Saka.
Or his Nando sauce.
Saka's a serious player, but he ain't Foden, man. He ain't Phil Foden.
What?
I'll be honest
with
you.
This is what I'm saying, like, because you're not on Twitter as much.
Even
in my group chats, like, the Gooners, they're not saying that Saka's better than Foden, but they're not having Foden over Saka.
Foden comes to Arsenal,
in an Arsenal shirt, I kind of get it. Because you see what Saka's doing or what he's done, innit?
Foden can do that.
Foden come Arsenal, he's our best player. Instantly. Starting every week. Wherever he wants to play. Right wing. Saka, you move to left wing. I'm not joking. Wherever Foden wants to play, when he comes to Arsenal, he's playing.
And... Clip.
No, Foden would be Arsenal's best player every game.
Woo!
I don't think Arsenal fans could argue with that, though.
Woo!
This would be a good question for the rest of the manager.
We're putting this out as a rule, and we're gonna. Who is if Foden went to Arsenal, would he be Arsenal's best player?
I don't know why people would argue. Saka is top three right wingers in the world, you know.
Yeah.
But Foden is a special, special man.
It's hard to put him in a like direct position.
Put him anywhere on that football field, he's damaging you. I've seen Foden win that Manchester derby by himself. I've seen him.
Saka's won big games by himself, though.
But I've seen
Saka's become a very big game player as well.
I know, but at the end of the day, I also have to equate this to championships, what you've won, the games you've done it in. And all of those games that Foden has done it in have led to them going on to win something.
But my pushback on Foden a couple years ago was, I remember, I think Neville and Carragher tried to put him in their PFA teams. And I was like, bro, he's started like half the games in the season. Like, with players...
That's how good he is, though.
No, not enough in the sense that they know his ability. But I'm like, for me, that doesn't warrant it.
Right.
Because you're not playing enough.
Right.
For me, there always has to be a certain amount of games you play. I don't care how good you are for you to make, unless you're outstandingly the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances.
That level of consistency needs to be measured, isn't it?
And Foden's, he's at the best possible place he can be because he's never had to be the main man. It's only until this season, really, he's been the outright main man, more or less, because KDB's been injured.
But that's the thing. A man's the main man with Haaland, KDB,
yeah,
Rodri.
But they've been out.
I understand that, but they're giving him the ball now. They're saying, bro, this is your team. You do your thing.
But that, no, this one...
That's what Arsenal have been doing.
They gave him the ball before, though.
Yeah, they did this.
No, but like, with City players, a lot of them, as long as they have a good purple patch, though, they're going to win the title. Because City, they've done it with KDB can run the league for 2 months. Gundogan can do it for 2 months. Mm-hmm. Grealish could have a good 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Foden can have a good 2 months.
Yeah.
All in the space of one season. And you're like, you'll never know who to pick the standout player by the time when you deep it.
Harden can score 50 goals.
Yeah. That's just going to be a big guarantee. Whereas, this season has been the first proper season you've seen. Not even Foden shine. Foden's always shine. But he's always had the leeway or the grace of, because he's not playing as consistently, the games that he does perform, he can give his outright best, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, Saka's one, he's a machine.
Yeah, he plays every week.
Literally plays every week. I think he's missed one league game in the last 2 or 3 years or something
like
that.
He's a serious man.
Like, in terms of, the knocks that he takes. Mm-hmm. I think I even saw one ex-Arsenal player, was it Bob Wilson or something, that said he fears Saka will not... I didn't read the full thing, but he said by 24-25 he fears Saka will basically die down because he's not getting protected, the amount of fouls he gets, etc.
That's possible.
And stuff like that. And this is the only part I understood. I don't think Saka's a better footballer than Foden, no chance. But I understood the Arsenal fans, some of their points in terms of what Saka's done. Obviously Arsenal haven't really won anything, but they've never really been in that position. Whereas Foden can just be the final piece in that puzzle at that particular period.
Right.
Saka's had to... Where Arsenal are at is mainly because of him.
He's had to bring him out the mud.
When Arteta should have been sacked, Saka, Smith Rowe,
Odegaard, them boys.
Them two saved his job massively. And Saka's the one thing I give him, when I say he's consistent now, his improvement every single year is just crazy. Foden's just naturally a better player, isn't it?
Right.
I think he's naturally the best English player.
Yes.
And obviously Harry Kane, isn't it? You get me?
Yeah.
Going back to, I didn't actually say my team. I'll probably do who more or less majority are saying back for Walker, Stones. Obviously, I understand Maguire in the England shirt, but I would arguably have maybe a Tomori or maybe another centre back if I have to
100%.
Think about it. Probably, easily best left back. I think I said in my group chat, divulging, but when some people had pushback about Maino getting called up, innit? And I said, they were like, he's too young, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, bro, if you're good enough,
too young,
you're
old rubbish,
enough,
fam.
It's Matt Busby saying. Yeah. But it's not even, and I was like, it's not even me being a United fan. I was like, look at England's actual centre mid options. It's not great at all.
Yeah.
And you saw that with the call up. They literally put five centre mids or something like that. Gallagher, Henderson, Rice, Bellingham. And I think they classed Madison in that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, he can actually get into that squad, bro. Yeah. You can start to usher Henderson out.
Yeah. Loftus-Cheek also.
Because I said Loftus-Cheek should have been called up and potentially Barkley.
Yeah, yeah. What he's doing at Luton, crazy.
No, that would have been.
But Ruben's having a good season at AC Milan.
But I feel like when you leave the country, you're being overlooked right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking as well. Unless you're Bellingham. Yeah. Like Jude's got
If you play for Real Madrid, it's different. Real Madrid and you play for Bayern Munich, could have different. But AC Milan, even if you play for AC Milan, you shouldn't be overlooked. But
AC Milan, it used to be.
I know, but Gareth is also the manager.
Yeah, Jude's running football, bro. But yeah, like Gareth. There'll be games I'll be thinking, what should I do? The midfield three of Rice, Cobby and Jude, for instance, like yours, and then Foden part of the front three, or do yours of Rice, Jude and Foden, which ideally I'd want to do, but I might fare that against the very top teams and maybe rush part of that front three.
Rice is two men in there, man.
But yeah, I hear that, but it's shown with Arsenal when they've gone in their form. He's played better when Jorginho's come into the side.
That's true. That's
true. Because Jorginho's been the one that's been able to somewhat dictate play or just...
You can see
just,
that though.
Just sit and just pick the pass.
Yeah.
You can see that though when Partey was playing next to him. Exactly. Early in the season.
And I remember I said that at the beginning of the season. Yeah. I was like, Partey has to start, obviously.
Yeah. But we're playing we didn't know he was injured then or whatever.
Well, injured. But I was like, to get the best out of Rice for now, and for him to actually learn off, say, Partey and Jorginho properly... Mm-hmm. To eventually mold into that position, do you know what I mean? Yes. Utilize what he's got right now with those players.
That's why I put Kobe in the squad. Let him be the one that will just
get the ball.
Yeah.
But people think that United though, but Kobe's actually a better eight than six. So
But the seniority right now, you just got it. So let the
But Kobe gets forward better than Rice. Or in terms of like, not get forward. Get forward is the wrong word, but like,
don't know about that one.
Declan. He's more direct going forward than Rice because he's been an attacking midfielder.
I do get that. Though.
He's been a striker. Do you know, he knows what to do.
His link up play.
Yeah, bro.
I get that, but you see when Declan get his gear three. You get gear three, gear four, and then he starts driving. When he gets to gear five and starts driving through the middle of the pitch.
Declan's a machine.
And you start looking left and right and you just know.
Maybe they should play together so they can just interchange.
maybe. But I just, in the midfield three, I think Declan Rice, 100%.
100.
I think Jude Bellingham, 100%.
Yeah.
I think Foden... Foden's going to play anywhere, but Foden 100% on the pitch.
Yeah. No, he needs to play.
Foden 100% on the pitch.
I've always said, I don't think Southgate knows what to do with Foden.
Southgate don't know what to do with anyone.
And to be fair,
he knows what to do with Maguire.
Trust. Mate, if Calvin Phillips was playing well for West Ham, he would have definitely been called
up. Bro, if Calvin Phillips plays towards the end of the season, you know he's coming.
Yeah. No, it's true.
He's coming.
Bro, Phillips didn't get dropped for how long?
There's men that are just coming for no reason, you know. But Southgate, because he don't know what he's doing, hopefully he becomes Man United manager. Please, Southgate.
Nah, Ineos.
If he becomes Man United manager, I'm going to celebrate.
That's so wild, you know.
But
one step forward, two steps back.
But yeah, no. Southgate's the real issue is with the England team is Gareth Southgate.
Mm.
I'll be honest with you.
Question then. Who do you put in there?
As a manager. I don't think I go for anyone English anymore. You know who might work? Might be controversial, but he's
Jose.
Good international manager. He's a good international manager. I feel like he could be a good international manager.
I was going to say when he's managing.
No, but like, I feel like he could be a good international manager. If you're going to go for an Englishman, though.
Eddie Howe.
It's tough.
That was the one that was coming to mind.
Yeah. He's probably the best candidate, or Graham Potter, for instance.
Because they have a style of play.
Yeah, Graham Potter, actually, I just feel like Chelsea
he got a job right now either.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he didn't have time to actually implement stuff.
That might work.
But yeah, there'd definitely be more attacking than... Mate, even flipping Lee Carsley, the under-21s manager. You saw what the under-21s done last summer when they won it. They were playing the midfield two of Gomez and Curtis Jones.
Footballers,
bruv.
England could do the
Curtis
same thing.
Curtis Jones is another one I think that should be with the seniors as well.
Yeah, I don't know if he plays enough for Liverpool.
It's just he's been injured.
Yeah, but I just don't know if he plays enough for Liverpool.
No, he has this season.
Yeah, but in terms of when Liverpool start in midfield three, is he in it?
I've said to Liverpool fans he is.
No, but...
He starts to have to get called up. Yeah. If Foden got called up for this amount of years, then he should get called up
too. Yeah, but that's outright talent.
That's true.
Just say he plays like Calvin Phillips, Maguire, and all that man.
For Southgate, you don't have to play.
Curtis Jones easily.
For Southgate, you can get called up. You don't have to play. So in that case, yes, he should do. But I'm just, Euros. England should do a job.
Mate, it's going to be...
stay away from
United. It's going to be very interesting because England have... They have a team that should win a tournament. in terms of like they've got a lot of attacking options, for instance, and stuff like that.
Yeah, let's see what their final squad is though, because yeah, man, they've got too many injuries right now. Even Stones is injured now.
Yeah, you know, business and players are gonna somewhat pull out, especially these lot with the title race. Yeah. Arsenal City players.
Neville predicted it still.
Yeah, but it's because he done it as well.
Yeah. Talking from experience.
Yeah,
not to play friendlies. Yeah, don't need.
Not at this stage of the season.
Friendlies is a joke still.
Because look at Kyle Walker the other day. Yeah. Even just a niggle, you don't need it.
And then obviously you got Man City v Arsenal was the first big game back
Sunday.
After internationals, like, bruv, like...
Yeah, you're still positive about that one, innit? You're going to smash them, innit?
Yep.
He said 3-1. 3-1. Yeah.
Yeah, the scoreline ain't changed, guys. Clip.
3-1.
Come. All right. So, obviously, we've named teams. All right, who's winners? Sorry. Quick one for Euros. France.
I would love England still.
England winning in Germany. Oof, that would be a madness.
Mm.
I think I'm going to go Portugal.
Oh, no, I don't think
I like that one too.
I think I'm going to go Portugal.
They've got good young players. I like the team.
They've just got, they're a very solid team.
Yeah.
Like everyone knows their role.
Yeah.
That's one thing with them. No matter the coach, everyone knows their role.
But that's the good thing about, that's how some teams just get far as well. You know, you don't have to be the best talented, but everyone knowing their role.
Mm-hmm. When you don't have switching up in the team so much, it's always good to have continuity and patterns and get what I mean. That's the problem with England. You don't know who's getting picked.
Because Portugal's supposed to say front three. Rafael Leao left, Ronaldo centre forward, Bernardo right wing.
Yeah, or João Felix.
Yeah, then you got Bruno, whoever in centre mid. I forgot, maybe Vitinha, Paulinho to sit or whatever. Pepe got recalled back to the squad.
Yeah,
man, 41.
So Pepe, Ruben Diaz. You've got partners with Diaz or Andre Silva, for instance, fullback. You've got Dalot. You've got Cancelo, you've got Guerrero. Bro, like, they've got
a squad.
They've got a good squad.
When you start deepening it,
Nalo was Portuguese.
You know when you start deepening it, England's squad gets worse. When I start thinking about the players that other people have, England's squad isn't actually...
Other squads have better balance, I think. I think England are so top heavy. That's why England look better than they may.
They are.
Attacking-wise, England can wipe a lot of men.
But other than
compete,
that.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And they've got, like, special the players, part, yeah. Do you
but
know
if
what I mean?
Know, like wingers wise and that sort of stuff. Like you know what? You take Harry Kane number one as a striker at the Euros.
You got Ivan Toney, Ollie Watkins. For you
but then
probably
after
take
that,
those
after
three.
That wingers wise, you probably take everyone else's wingers.
Yeah. You only need three centre forwards for those tournaments.
No, but that's what I mean. But that's the thing that we're the best in probably one position. We're the best in striker. We have the best striker at the tournament. We don't have the best wingers at the tournament. Mbappe. We don't even have the best player at the tournament. We got Mbappe there.
I think on the, say, right wing, if you're going doubling up Saka Foden, it's better than other countries.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. But then midfield three?
It's weird because even Germany beat France the other day in a friendly.
Mm.
They were playing two turns of Wirtz and Musiala. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bro, they're both 20-21, but they're both world beaters.
Musiala's better than everyone in England's team.
They're like, but...
Everyone.
There are comparisons.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's a conversation. We'll come into this.
Everybody.
Guy, we can go with these young players. Wirtz is a bad man as well, but Musiala. Ooh, he's... we'll come to this one. Don't worry. The best young players in the world. But all right, cool. Now, Euros going to be fun.
Yes.
It should be a very good one. Very, very, very good one. Cool. All right, we missed off some NBA the last couple of weeks. Cause
we might have to miss it off again today.
No, we're not. I don't care. We are not missing NBA. Bro, it's the crunch time end of regular season.
Yeah, no. Let's the song of the week, and then we'll bring it back.
These men are bad. They've been trying to eliminate my NBA.
No. There's a reason why.
Nah, it's cool. All right, cool. Yeah, song we'll of the week. I can go first. To be fair, I was humming it for time before and singing some lyrics. Old school, Bobby Caldwell. What would you do for love? What you won't do for love, sorry.
Yeah.
You tried everything.
But you know, yes.
Old school, you get me?
Okay, cool.
I know my blues and jazz era, motherfucker. Era. Get me? I was spinning that.
Yours or mine, Ditch. I can go.
Yeah, you go.
My song is Sir. From Sir, new R&B album he brought out last Friday. The album's called Heavy, and the song I am choosing off the album is called Ricky's Song. Every song on the album is sensational, but Ricky's Song is my song.
So the song's called Ricky's Song?
Yeah, Ricky's Song is Song of the Week.
By Sir,
S-I-R. But the album he's brought out just now is called Heavy. Everyone tune in.
My one is by Frank Ocean. An old banger. Novocaine.
Okay. So me, Bobby Caldwell, What You Won't Do For Love.
Sir Ricky's song.
Frank Ocean, Novocaine.
And that is our song of the week, and we expect you to drop yours in our reels and our TikToks, etc., etc., and they will be added to the playlist.
Yes.
Can we talk NBA now? Are you not going to let us? Bloody hell. Got a tough crowd there, mate. Get me. Right, quickly. We're going to quickly do it.
I don't know.
This man are bad vibes. All right, cool. We can leave it. We can leave it until next week. Even though we've said that the last 2 weeks.
It's not gone anywhere.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not gone anywhere for now.
All right.
Joe is not happy about this. All right. But we will talk NBA. We will.
Cool. That's fine. I don't know what you want me to say.
Oh, man.
Cool. I guess that it is it. Yeah, that is it. Song of the week. We shall wrap that up on. And obviously, as always, we really appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, you know what I mean? Sharing, loving, liking, etc. Commenting. Very important. Very important.
Yeah, we're loving the comments.
Yep.
We want to hear your thoughts. We want to also hear or know what you're listening to as well. Because, get me, one, we can add it to a playlist and... So you might put something in your song of the week that none of us have heard. Me more likely, these two less likely, but you never know. So yeah, as Dej likes to say,
just tell a friend to tell a friend.
And Jacob,
like and subscribe.
Yeah, you know, gonna be Joe signing out.
It's Dej signing out.
Jacob signing out.
Peace.
Thank you for listening.
What you won't do for love.